Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Well, I got to get up early in the morning. And so late last night, I'm up watching the president, so it's already late. And then I put on the late news, and all of a sudden, all heck breaks loose at Michigan State University. First of all, let's start with the basketball program. Corey Lucius has been dismissed from the team. What do you know?
Well, unfortunately, right now, we don't know a whole lot more than they released in that statement that, you know, they kind of use the contract detrimental to the team, which could be so many different things. But, you know, as most people know, Corey's, you know, had his issues over the past couple of years. He was suspended once for a game last year for skipping class. He had the issue this at the start of this year, was suspended two games for, you know, when he was pulled over for operating while intoxicated, which he pled to you know, misdemeanor reckless driving. But, you know, he's always kind of been that guy that's always kind of, you know, on the edge causing a few little issues. And, you know, so I guess it's no surprise that he was probably on thin ice. So whatever it was, it could have been minor, could have been major, but he probably had a pretty short leash considering some of the things he's had gone through in the past.
Well, you wonder, is some type of pattern developing here, and Coach Izzo's trying to nip it in the bud. One of the key players from the team was kicked off last year and is going to be attending Iowa State. I wonder what's going on.
Well, that's a pretty good question to ask. I mean, you know, Chris Allen, too, had his plenty of issues off the court. And, you know, I don't think none of these are anything related to playing because, I mean, you know, Tom even talked on Monday how they needed Corey to start, you know, shooting the ball if they were going to be have the season they wanted. So, you know, it's none of that. So I think there has been a little bit of a pattern with these guys and some of the problems they're having off the court. You know, whether that's an issue with the program, I mean, who knows. But, you know, I think Tom Izzo has shown that he's not just going to sit around and, you know, and allow it to happen. Obviously, he let Chris Allen go and Corey Lucius is the latest. I think the difference here is if you read that statement, he says, for the remainder of the season, which kind of leaves that kind of small window open that maybe if Corey kind of gets things straightened out, he can have a chance to come back next year.
This wasn't mentioned Monday, and the way he talked about Corey and what he needed from him, do you get a sense that whatever happened within the last 48 hours?
Excuse me, yes, I do. In fact, I have the sense it probably happened within, probably just in the last day, you know. Like you said, he was talking a lot about how, you know, moving forward with Corey and the team and how he needed to contribute. So, you know, I don't think there was any thought that, you know, there was anything brewing or it was something, you know, kind of long term. I think something happened in the last day. And like I said, he was probably on a short leash already and probably didn't give, you know, Tom Izzo a whole heck of a lot of choice.
Well, Tom Izzo has a lot of things to clear up. This team isn't playing good defense right now. This team doesn't seem to have any type of interior game from its big fellas when it comes to the offensive side of things. There's not that aggression, that slashing, especially by Darrell Summers, to get to the hoop and finish. What's missing? What's going on?
I tell you what, Tony, it is one of the bigger mysteries. You could almost understand it if it was a team of a lot of freshmen or inexperienced guys that, you know, haven't played a lot together. But these guys, you know, we all know what they've done. I mean, you know, the post offense, you know, Del Monroe played a little bit better against Purdue, but that hasn't been there up until that point. You know, Darrell Summers might be the biggest mystery of the entire country in terms of college basketball. I mean, everyone saw what he could do last year in the NCAA tournament. I mean, he was a superstar, and now he's kind of back to that almost disinterested guy that no one can really figure out why. I mean, this kid's playing for an NBA future, and he looks like he's kind of going through the motions half the time. So, you know, in my mind, it's a motivational thing, and why these guys can't seem to, I don't know, turn that switch on is really one of the bigger mysteries I've ever dealt with.
Is Darrell Summers sulking, and is the team just rested on its laurels and just expected to get to the Final Four? And are they just starting to understand that this is everybody's Super Bowl every time they play Michigan State?
I think they are. I think early in the season especially there was a sense of entitlement with these guys. I thought they would show up on the court and, you know, it wouldn't really matter because in all the end they're going to be at the Final Four again. When I think in the last couple of weeks, they've started to realize, obviously, that's not the case. Now, you know, it might be to the point now where they're trying to dig themselves out of a hole they made far too big for themselves. So, you know, in terms of Durrell, I he doesn't really sulk. I mean, he's kind of a laid-back guy as it is, so it's hard to tell. Is he kind of in a down mood, or is he just being himself? So, you know, it was an issue against Northwestern when the team's, you know, coming back, and over time the place is going nuts, and he's sitting there not moving with a towel over his neck. So, you know, I know Tom wasn't happy with his attitude then, but he's been okay the last couple of games. So it's just been an ongoing thing with him. You never know whether he's up or down. So, you know, until he gets that figured out, we'll be dealing with the same question.
Well, that leads us to tomorrow night. Big game at the Breslin Center. Michigan State. Michigan is 11-9. We'd love to have a big win. The Spartans, who have been struggling so much, are 12-7, 4-3 in the Big Ten. They've got to have a win.
Absolutely. You know, and if you looked at the next three games of setting up for them to kind of get a little bit healthy, I guess you could say, Michigan at home, they got Indiana at home this weekend, and then they're at Iowa, you know, three teams at the bottom of the conference. So, but, you, I mean, you, regardless of record, when you're playing Michigan, it's a rivalry game, you can never kind of take them lightly. And, you know, considering the suspension or, you know, the dismissal of Lucius, I mean, they're probably better off to playing at home now, because I'll tell you what, if they were going to Ann Arbor and kind of trying to figure out their rotation again, it could get pretty ugly. But, you know, I guess the benefit is Michigan obviously isn't the team that, you know, Purdue or Illinois is. So it probably comes at a good time for this team.
Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis, I saw in several interviews yesterday, seemed to be annoyed about a menagerie of topics, but none more than Roy Williams, the North Carolina coach, announcing on his radio and TV shows that that aircraft carrier game is going to be played between Michigan State and North Carolina.
Yeah, it's kind of been a poorly kept secret, to be honest with you. So, you know, they've had that date kind of put on the floor over there at the Breslin. It's whenever we've asked Mark about it, he's kind of been kind of coy about it without really denying it, just kind of with a smile. So it's been talked about for a while, and everyone's kind of just expected it, that it's going to happen. So, you know, Roy Williams talking about it, I don't think it's a real big surprise to anybody. So I guess without all the contracts signed and all that, I could see it kind of bothering him. But, you know, most people kind of figured it was happening anyway.
It's going to be a done deal in November of next season, correct?
Yeah, and then if the dates are right, it's going to be they're going to be in San Diego on the 11th, and about 4 days later back at Madison Square Garden playing Duke. So, you know, if people don't like the tough scheduling, then they might not want to pay attention next year either.
And Matt, I know you don't cover hockey a lot, but wanted to see if you knew anything about Rick Connolly. He is retiring. In watching the newscast, it looked like Mark Hollis, in a separate interview from Connolly, they were, I don't know, there seemed to be a negative tone, an edginess there, like, hey, I'm happy I'm retiring, I'm ready to go. You know anything about that story?
Well, you know, I don't know anything, you know, that most people don't. Obviously, I hear things, and we have people that cover hockey, but I certainly know that they're at Michigan State, they're not exactly happy that they never really seem to get that bump from the national championship in 07. I mean, normally a team will do that, and you'll see a big, you know, uptick in recruiting and that kind of thing, and you never really saw that with the Michigan State hockey team. So I think it's kind of a, from what I've been told, it's a frustration, you know, with the university over the last year or two that things have never really built off that championship, and they've kind of decided they want to go a different way.
Matt, anything else new and newsy for Michigan State football or basketball?
Football, you know, they're right here on the stretch run to signing day, February 2nd. They've picked up a couple decent players here the last, week. They've added three, four more guys, so, and they're still in the mix for a couple fairly highly recruited guys. So it's, you know, football-wise, it's shaping up to be a pretty good offseason. It doesn't look like that loss to Alabama will have too much effect, especially recruiting. So, and as far as basketball, it's, you know, they need to get these wins the next week and a half here, because they got some tough ones coming down the stretch.
Well, Michigan comes to the Breslin Center tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I would imagine that atmosphere is going to be electric.
It should be. You know, the Breslin is always, in my opinion, one of the best arenas in the country, and when you bring Michigan in, you know, that's just that'll just amp those guys up a little bit more, and it should be an exciting environment.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much. We always appreciate your time.
You got it, Tony. Thanks.